Apostle Mosi Madaba is going to be here, our friend from Nigeria. We've known him since 1990. He's going to be ministering with us. He's actually going to be speaking a message. There was a confirmation, and I'll share more about it next Sunday. But as you know, we had our time of our compassion events, February through May, and we felt like the Lord was wanting us to get outside the walls. Well, that was the theme. Speed Up the Harvest was the theme of the Global Leadership Summit, the prayer quake there in Port Harcourt this past January. And then that was also our theme for last week here at the Ministers Prayer Network Summit in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And I just, when Apostle Mosi was sharing, it so touched my heart and my life that I just asked him to please come and share with us this important word in this season. I think it's supposed to move us to new levels and new territories in the Lord. So I want you to be here next week. I believe there's going to be an impartation and there's going to be a significant encounter with the Lord as the Lord encounters us. This morning, before I speak on the season of prayer and fasting, we made the announcements. We told you about it today, but I'm actually going to be speaking on that. And as you know, on the website in our resources section, the messages, there's the PDF of the message. My notes are there. Also, I've made about 50 copies for you that like the hard copy. They're over there at the small group sign-up table. You can grab one. If we run out, if you'll just email the office at email@calvaryhouston.com, we'll have some more printed up this week, and we're going to start September the 1st. But Father, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, Lord, I ask you this morning to anoint these words, anoint our words today with the power of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Father, I pray you'll silence every word that's not of yours, anything of the enemy that wants to distort or misunderstand. Lord, we just, in Jesus' name, we take authority over that. We break the power of confusing things. And Lord, where I'm unclear or whatever, would you take this mystery of speaking and preaching, and would you turn it into words of life for us and to help us and to challenge us? Lord, may we not hear guilt or condemnation, but this morning, may we hear challenge in the name of Jesus. Amen. So before I do the message, I want to just read a statement. The reason why I want to read it is because I believe that this topic actually deserves a whole sermon. And if I look up from what I'm reading, I'm going to go sermonizing, and I will not do what I need to do with this and then our prayer and fasting. So I want to share a comment on what happened last weekend in our culture and comment on the alt-right and the white supremacy movement in our nation. We're all aware of the sad events which took place on Saturday, 8/12/17 in Charlottesville, Virginia. I posted a number of articles and post to my Facebook page last Sunday, and I wanted to share with you today what I believe. The gospel and the actions of the alt-right and the white supremacy is not the gospel of Jesus. It is actually a teaching of demons. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Treating others with hate is not of God. Let me describe how I see the day in which we live. We live in a polarized culture. The tactics of the extreme right and the extreme left are actually the same. We must avoid demeaning and demonizing others. Rather, we need to treat one another with dignity, civility, and respect. And we need to reach our children with the gospel of the kingdom of God, because both the radical right and the radical left are seeking to radicalize young people today. We want to raise up a generation of young people who are radically obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and who are radically on mission with Jesus to do the works of the kingdom of God in renewing the earth, in renewing individuals, social systems, communities, and nations to God's design. And I want to read from a posting by my friend Lee Grady. the demonic roots of white supremacy. He said white supremacy is a part of the Antichrist spirit mentioned in the New Testament. It is in complete opposition to Christ's gospel for the following reasons. When God chose to send his son into the world, he was born to a Jewish woman. Jesus would never have been considered Aryan. He was a man of color. Yet he called people of all races to salvation. And that was not based on race, but on faith and God's incredible love and mercy. The church that Jesus founded with his first, who were first Jewish followers, but quickly became mixed with Italians, Greeks, Ethiopians, and other Gentiles, Jesus broke the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. He defeated racism, and he commissioned his followers to take the gospel to all nations. Christianity has always been multi-ethnic. The first apostles made it clear that Christ's kingdom is based on love for one another. Christians are not allowed to hate other people, and they are certainly not allowed to belong to hate groups. John made this clear when he wrote, "If anyone says, 'I love God and hates his brother,' he's a liar." Racial hatred, bigotry, and prejudice of any kind are polar opposites of our Christian faith. Now, around here, Pastor Steve has implanted in us that we're to live differently as Christians. This is a calling upon our church, upon believers in Northwest Houston. We are to affirm our unity. We are to celebrate our diversity. And we are to work to create harmony. Remember those three phrases. We affirm our unity in the faith with the Lord Jesus Christ and with brothers and sisters. We celebrate our diversity, uniqueness in the body of Christ, in our communities, and we create harmony. We work to create harmony. How did Jesus live? Jesus, when you think about the woman at the well, John chapter 4, he broke right through every racial, religious, and gender bias. He went through Samaria on his way to Galilee. He initiated a conversation with a Samaritan. That was a racial taboo. He shared what he thought and believed about the woman, and he spoke up when they spoke up about religion, and he refused to demean or demonize her for what he believed. As a matter of fact, they had a genuine conversation marked by civility, honor, and authenticity and love. And finally, he read headlong through the gender bias by initiating a conversation with a woman. In his day, women were marginalized. Jesus lived in a countercultural way. He treated men, women, boys, and girls with dignity. So Calvary, I want to invite us in this hour to show up better. I want to challenge us to show up as diplomats, as ambassadors of God, interacting with others in the love of Christ, dealing graciously and respectfully with others as they deserve to be treated because they're created by their creator in the image of God with human dignity. I want us to engage in social media, in conversations at work and with one another and our neighbors. I want us to engage with civility and courtesy when we speak. And I want us to refuse to demonize, attack, or belittle anyone for what they think, feel, or believe. Amen? So this is just a challenge to us. I just want to call us, Calvary, it is so exciting to be a part of this congregation that's so blessed and anointed by the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, guided by the Lord God. And I just want us to step in to what the Lord is saying and doing for us in this hour. So I just want you to know where I am, and I haven't had a chance to reflect on all this with the staff, and I just wanted to share with you. This is really important to me. So I want to shift gears now, if you can. I want to talk about a season of prayer and fasting. We are calling Calvary to a season of prayer and fasting from September the 1st through the 30th for 30 days. We believe that the Lord wants us to come together as a people to consecrate ourselves for the Lord and for what lies ahead of us, like they did in the days of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So why are we calling our congregation, why are you and I going to enter into a season, a period of fasting and prayer? Well, we believe the Lord wants us to do it, and he wants us to consecrate, means to set apart ourselves to the Lord. because I believe, again, that we're a part of the Joshua generation, and he wants to fulfill his plans, purposes, promises, and prophetic words that are hanging over our church. I believe that he wants us to fulfill those in Jesus' name. And we want to fast and pray to seek the face of the Lord together corporately. This is a way to come together and to seek God in a unique way corporately. We want to fast and pray to soften our hearts before the Lord. And we want to come with the repentant spirit corporately and individually. We want to pray to gain strength for the next steps as we walk together with the Lord. And we want to fast and pray for breakthrough. Wasn't it incredible worship this morning? As a matter of fact, Patty Smithwick said there were four things that God was breaking as we were having the songs of breakthrough this morning. Very powerful. And Patty, I can't remember what they were, but God was moving and acting. And things transpired in the spirit realm because God, the breaker, who has the breaker anointing, was here to minister this morning. And so I believe some of us are actually going to leave the service today and we're going to experience things differently this week because we're going to realize he broke chains off of us and he did a work. So again, the dates, when are we doing this? September the 1st through the 30th. We'll come together. We're going to end our season of prayer and fasting on Sunday, October the 1st. And we're going to have a worship service and a time of consecration, surrender, corporate worship, and prayer that Sunday morning. Now, in the handout, there are a number of resources that I've listed for you. Joshua Rushing actually gave me two new resources on fasting and prayer. And they're listed, one by Mike Bickle, one by John Piper. And the links are there. You can click on it in the handout. And we also hope to have that in our webpage, a resource for prayer and fasting. And then when we're going to give you kind of a prayer guide to help us in this season. So those are some things that are coming. And so when I'm speaking today on this topic, I am speaking on them together, prayer and fasting, fasting and prayer. It's not, we don't just fast, but we fast in order to pray. We want to connect with the Lord, and our calling is to fast and pray. We want to bathe our fasting with prayer. So that's why we combine them. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Very familiar passage, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Oh, and for those of you who have already pulled up the handout and are following along, and you're looking where I am in the notes, and you look at the length of the notes, and your anxiety has shot up significantly, I am not going to cover all that I've given you today. I was asked by someone, someone this morning was energized, and I've never fasted. How would I know it? Well, how do you go about it? Well, in the handout, in the sermon notes, I've given you details about how to fast and what to do and how to start a fast and how to end a fast from some of the resources. And so I'm not going to be able to go over all that today because of time limitations. But the sermon notes are very, very detailed and will help you significantly in the journey of fasting. And so just want to make you aware of that. 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I shut up the heavens, so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The Lord tells us what to do when we face difficulties or the need for breakthrough as a nation or as a people. He says, humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, and repent. And what do we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14? What are the promises that God makes to his people? He says, if you'll do your part, I'll do my part to hear, to forgive, and to heal even our land. God has taught us some things through the years here at Calvary about intercession, that is to pray, about pursuing God, that is to seek his face, and about repentance, how to turn from our wicked ways or how to turn from sin to righteousness. Praying, seeking God, and repenting are expressions of humility. Humbling ourselves does not come easily or naturally to us in our culture. Another way that we can humble ourselves is by adding fasting and prayer. Jesus teaches us that fasting is actually a normal spiritual practice for those who follow the way of the Lord, just like praying, giving, and worship, and then other spiritual disciplines. Especially when you read Matthew chapter 6, he lists three spiritual disciplines right there: praying, giving, and fasting. There's normative, and there's many others that we see Jesus doing: worshiping, getting alone with the Lord, silence, solitude, community, numbers of spiritual practices. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. The scripture says, quoting the Lord Jesus, when you fast. Isn't that interesting? Jesus just assumed that we would fast. When you fast. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, pour all oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to people that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. By the way, in the teaching where it gets very practical later on, in the message and the handouts that I'll give you, I just want to make this comment. So many people are afraid to announce that they're fasting or let others know. We shouldn't broadcast it from the mountaintops. We shouldn't talk about it. But it's just actually respectful to, family meal planning, for instance, or someone who invites you out to say to something, just say, hey, listen, I'm not eating right now. And then if they press it further, well, I'm just in a season of really seeking the Lord through a spiritual practice. It's important to let people know. And we're actually calling everybody to do this together here at Calvary, right? So this is a corporate thing, so we're going to know about it, right? So he's not trying to put us into a legalistic thing, but what was happening was people weren't doing it for humility's sake, for seeking the Lord. They were doing it to draw external attention to themselves, so they would look really somber, and they would look, sackcloth and ashes and other things. And so Jesus says, that's your reward if you're just going to do it to do that. The reward is people recognize you and saw you do it. That's not our reward. That's not what we want. Amen? What we want is we want to connect with God. We want to meet with God. And so fasting is a way to do that. However, when you think about fasting, it's not on the top 10 list of the favorite spiritual disciplines for believers. As a matter of fact, I believe it's one of the most neglected spiritual practices, especially in evangelical culture. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago on the issue of fasting, and I want to share with you about fasting and prayer in the hopes that you'll be equipped to participate with Jesus in his local and global work and in these last days. So actually, back years ago, I was attending a prayer meeting of city leaders, and we had a man who was here from Nigeria. His name was Sule. And he was sharing his testimony. He was a former Muslim who had had four visitations from the Lord Jesus himself. By the way, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus tells us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest fields. Calvary, I want to ask you, would you please pray for the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into this harvest field and into the harvest fields in Greater Houston and beyond? And the good news is, where he can't send laborers right now, Jesus is showing up and making visitation to Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus in unreached places, and they're having dreams, encounters like this man did, because they're off-limit places. They're places where it's very hard, restricted access. And so the Lord of the harvest, we're praying for laborers, and he's one of the laborers. And he's showing up with signs and wonders and miracles, dreams and visitations, and personally leading, like this man, a key Muslim leader, to the Lord. And so our testimony is, go God, go. Amen? We want him to do more of that. I met a lady who stopped by our church years ago, and she told me that she was from Pakistan. She had come to know the Lord. And I said, how'd you come to know the Lord? She said, well, he appeared to me in a dream. And I told her, we've been reading reports about that, and we've been asking God to do that. She said, well, that's how I came to Jesus. I'd never heard of Jesus. I'd never met him. And he shows up into a dream, and he tells me who he is, and invited me to follow him. And I dropped everything and followed him. That's current stuff. Isn't God good? God's doing this all over the earth. That's free. But as he was sharing, I had these different tormenting thoughts that hit me. When it comes to the issue of fasting, sometimes we feel guilt, confusion, frustration. And for example, when some people talk about fasting, it almost sounds like fasting is the key to getting spiritual life and power. Now, this former Muslim taught us about something in the spirit realm that most Christians have no clue about. He actually stressed that fasting for Muslims and other cults is, as a matter of fact, a way to access spiritual power. That you can access illegal spiritual power through fasting, through these practices. The other groups do different spiritual worship and activities where it empowers them from illegal sources to do what they're called to do. They know how to access spiritual power, and a lot of Christians don't. I'm not saying the reason we fast is to access spiritual power, but I believe a part of our powerlessness is because we're unaware that the church was actually called people of the way. They followed the way of Jesus. What way? His practices, his obediences. They followed, they said, look, we recognize them as having been with Jesus because they act like him, they talk like him, they do the same spiritual practices and the works that he did. Followers of the way. This is true. Through fasting, people garner spiritual power. That's a fact in the occult. That's the fact in world religions. And it sometimes seems to me like Muslims and other religions and cults know more about spiritual power and reality than Christians do. To them, fasting is an important door to access spiritual power, albeit illegitimate, illegal spiritual power. And then I've also heard teachings on fasting through the Bible, which seem to say it's the key to knowing God, using biblical examples of people that in order to see God fasted for 40 days or so. Moses, Jesus are two of the people that fasted for 40 days. Personally, I've met two people who have experienced the manifest presence of Jesus when they fasted for 40 days. But is Jesus going to meet every one of us when we fast, when we pray? Is this the main reason for fasting, so we can have an encounter? As we've said around here, spiritual disciplines remove the illusion that God is absent, and they position us, but it doesn't make God do anything, but it changes me and you and opens up new capacities in us for more of God. Is fasting the key to seeing God? Is fasting the key to getting to know God? Hasn't the Lord shown us that the key to getting to know God is loving God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Isn't that what Jesus said? And is fasting the key to spiritual power? Is fasting something Jesus wants his followers to do? What's the point of fasting? Those are all questions that come up in our minds this morning as you're thinking about, wow, he's talking about fasting. Why would I want to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So we're going to look at that together. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. As I meditated on those questions, those issues, the Lord brought Isaiah 58 to my mind. In Isaiah 58, the Lord spells out the power of fasting. It does break yokes and bondages, but it must be done the right way for the right reasons to have maximum impact. And according to the Bible, there are wrong ways to fast, and there are wrong reasons for fasting, just as there are right reasons and right ways to fast. And so Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6 said, here's a wrong way to fast, to draw attention to yourself, to let everybody know how spiritual you are. He said that you're going to get that reward. But if you want to meet with God, then use fasting as a way of making yourself available, surrendered to God. The wrong ways of fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3. The people say, why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you're pleased and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this not the kind of fast that I've chosen? Only for a day? For a person to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? So Jesus tells us, here are the wrong ways to fast. To do as you please when you fast is wrong. To do as you please when you fast is wrong. We need to find out what God wants us to do, what the point of our fasting is, and then he wants us to do what he wants us to do while we're fasting. Here's some appropriate questions to ask. What kind of fast does God want me to make? Which yoke does God want me to pray to be broken while I'm fasting? What does God want me to pray about while I'm fasting? We're going to help with that, by the way. We're actually going to have a prayer guide, hopefully, that'll help us to pray together corporately. What attitudes or actions need to change in my life so that I reflect the character and the will of Jesus? I've got so much to say today. You're just going to have to listen fast. Let me just pause. Several years ago, I was doing a long fast. I think it was a 40-day fast, and I've done 30-day and 40-day in different length ones. And this was back early 2000s. And I came off the fast, and at the time, Diet Pepsi was my preferred drink. I love Diet Pepsi, and I would drink between 3 to 6 cans or bottles. I love Diet Pepsi. It's just one of those things that was a real blessing to me. And also, I wanted to support their company. And so I came off the fast and I grabbed my Diet Pepsi like usual. And when I drank it, my heart began to palpitate. And I said, whoa, never had that happen. It just began to race. So I stopped drinking it that day. And the next day I picked it up and the same thing happened. And I go, whoa. And then this went on for several days. And in misery, I prayed and asked the Lord, what's going on here? And he said, I'm helping you. And I said, excuse me? He said, I'm helping you. I'm setting you free, and I'm breaking this off of you. I said, breaking what off of me? Well, drinking so many Diet Pepsis. Now, the Lord doesn't talk to me audibly, but this is the conversation's gist. And I said, but I don't want that broken off of me. I didn't ask for that. And he said, yeah, I know, but I'm doing it because I love you, and this will help you. And, you know, I said under my breath, I don't need that kind of help. I don't want that kind of help. You know what I'm saying? I know none of you would talk to the Lord like that, but I was struggling. And so for several years, I couldn't drink a diet drink without my heart palpitating. And it was a grievous loss to me. And tea, I'm from Texas. Iced tea, that is the national drink of this state. And I just had to start drinking water and with some Propel in it and start drinking Powerade and Gatorade. And you know how boring water is? And the Lord told me, this is to help you. So there can be unintended consequences as you seek the Lord and as you follow him. And he might help you in ways that you weren't asking for. Well, I mean, we're going to ask him what are some ways, but that's why we ask him. Amen. And now the good news is occasionally I can have a diet drink, a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi. And but for about 10 or 15 years, I couldn't do them at all. And so, you know, I don't drink. I have one maybe a week or something like that. It's just he just broke that off of me for some unknown reason. And I'm grateful, I think. So to do as you please when you fast is the wrong way to fast. To take advantage of others when you fast is to violate the fast. It says to exploit all your workers. Acting without integrity toward others, even those over whom we have authority, violates the spirit of the fast. We must not exploit or treat others unrighteously. Righteousness is an expression of the kingdom of God, not unrighteousness. In many companies today, here's an illustration. In many companies today, some of our people in this church and others are doing the work of 2, 3, 4, and 10 people. Our culture is exploiting. That violates this. So if you're a boss, if you're a manager, I know we live in a really difficult economy, but we need to help people. We don't need to exploit people and take advantage of them. We need to fight for justice and to help raise up people. I had a friend who recently left a position, and it took 3 or 4 people for the company to hire to replace them. And, you know, God wants us to treat people well and righteously. So how do you treat your employees? Or how do you treat the people that you're responsible for? What do you do when the checkout clerk gives you more change than you were owed? Do you consider that a windfall, or do you consider that an opportunity to give back to them and say, hey, this wasn't mine? How do you treat your loved ones? Are you righteous, or are you tempted to be manipulative and controlling? So the Lord's being real practical here. Amen? Treat others with dignity and respect, righteously. Don't take advantage of them. To fight and quarrel when you fast violates the spirit of the fast. If we fight with others or do what we pleases, then should we expect that God will hear us and acknowledge our sacrifice? Here's a temptation. If you've not fasted as a regular part of what you do, this is a temptation you'll face when you fast. It's going to be to manipulate or mistreat others through anger. What happens is some of us, when we don't eat, we become grouchy bears. When we don't get to watch our favorite TV show, when we don't get to have our cave time, we get grumpy. And that violates the spirit of that. So when your spouse or your loved one or your friend or someone says, are you feeling okay? And you go, well, no, I'm not feeling okay. I'm not eating, and I need to be eating. And, you know, then don't ignore them. Say, oh, am I being grouchy? Am I being frustrated and angry a lot? And they'll go, well, duh. And that's to help you to get back into the spirit of the fast. To manipulate God to secure illegal spiritual power through fasting is wrong. It's wrong to fast to receive illegal spiritual power as the Muslims and other cults do. Fasting to manipulate God is wrong. Fasting to make God do something for us is wrong. They said in Isaiah 58:3, they said, what good is fasting? What's it doing for us? Because it was all about them, not about God. That's the wrong spirit of the fast. Amen? Obviously, such things is witchcraft, actually. It's a wrong kind of fasting. Fasting does position us to receive things from God, but it does not force God to do anything. So what's the point of fasting, you're asking? If we're calling the church to fast, why should we do this? Isaiah 58, verses 5 to 7. What's the purpose of the fast? It actually says that humility is the primary purpose of fasting in Isaiah 58, 5. But there are other reasons for fasting. This passage mentions deliverance and sacrificial ministry are reasons for fasting in verses 6 and 7. Other Bible verses detail more reasons for fasting. I actually have a chart that lists all the reasons why the Lord led people to fast and to pray in Scripture. They fasted and prayed for wisdom, direction, divine intervention, breakthrough, deliverance. So it says in Isaiah 58, 5, is it only a day to humble yourself? Presenting oneself in humility to seek the Lord is actually the overarching point of the Lord. The Lord says, is that the only reason? Well, it's the main reason. And so we need to acknowledge that humbling ourselves is a part of the journey. And may I say, the flesh hates to humble itself. I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. That's the nature of the flesh. So fasting is a way to say no to what we want, to say yes to what God wants. The goal of fasting or any spiritual discipline is to meet with the Lord, to seek Him. Intimacy with the Lord is hindered or helped by what we do. If we come to the Lord in pride and arrogance, He will not hear or receive us. But if we come with just external acts of humility, like they did in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was talking out about external acts of humility, but our hearts are arrogant and in control, God will not hear us. But if we come to Him according to His will and His way, Hebrews 11:6, if we come to Him with faith and believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him, God will meet us when we come to Him in that way. The primary purpose of fasting, according to Zechariah 7:5, the Lord says to His people, when you fasted and mourned, was it really for Me? The focus of our fast is to meet with God. Intimacy with God has to be what we seek. So fasting is actually an expression of longing. You read about the bridegroom fast. John the Baptist came fasting because he was preparing the way for the bridegroom. And God is calling us in this hour to hunger and thirst for Him, to say, you're more important than food, water, and these other things in our lives. So through the discipline of fasting, our human desires and cravings are subordinated to the will of God. So Isaiah 58:5, is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only for a day to humble himself? It is for that, but it's more than just for external humility. That's my parentheses. Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? So fasting is a day of humbling ourselves. It is supposed to be a genuine expression of humility. Fasting is an appropriate spiritual discipline and sacrifice that does get the attention of God. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about God rewards those who do this for him. Fasting is more than an external exercise or an outward exercise, an act of humility to draw attention to ourselves. Fasting actually means I'm posturing my heart, my inner person before God. Setting the captives free is another reason that we fast. God calls us to fast. It's a powerful weapon of our warfare. In Isaiah 58:6, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free? So here, fasting says it's going to loose chains of injustice, untie cords or yokes, set the oppressed free, and actually break every yoke. The Lord is calling us to partner with him for justice. God wants us to be a people who work in the systems around us for justice and to work against injustice. We're called to join the Lord Jesus to restore individuals, social systems, communities, and nations to his design. And right now, there are systemic injustices taking place all around us. And we have to work for those that cannot speak up for themselves. Sacrificing for and ministering to the needs of the poor are other reasons for fasting mentioned in this passage. Fasting is an expression of sacrifice. We give up something to meet the needs of others, not just spend that time on ourselves. It's not just skipping a meal just to save money. It's not just so we can do more work, but we skip that meal or we skip that time so that we can pray and so we can do what the Lord's asking us to do. Isaiah 58:7, he says, is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide for the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh. So here the Lord says, fasting is important because it gives us an opportunity to remember and to feed the poor, to shelter the homeless, to clothe those who are naked, to minister especially to our own family members, like those who have needs in our own nuclear families, the household of faith, but also our brothers and sisters in the world around us. So you and I need to understand that the hungry, the homeless, and the destitute are part of our flesh and blood. So let's join Jesus in serving the poor, the marginalized, and those in need. And then look at the promise in Isaiah 58, 8-11. The promise if we fast correctly. This is profound. By the way, God doesn't grade you on how well you do, especially if you're just starting fasting. Some of us have never done that. You're not getting graded on it, but it's the heart attitude. That's what I'm trying to address today. I have a friend that they walked by a bag of potato chips. They were in the midst of a long fast, and they walked by it, and they began to eat, and they said, oh, man, I just broke the fast. And they said, Lord, I'm so sorry, or repent. Let me finish this bag, and then we'll get back on it. And, I love that genuine heart, right? Don't you? And they didn't just stop fasting and say, well, that's no good. And I like the fact they finished what they started. Isaiah 58:8. Then your light will break through like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. You will cry for help, and he'll say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger, with malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like noonday. The Lord will always guide you. He will satisfy your needs like in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. If we will fast to seek the Lord, fast for the breaking of yokes, and minister and sacrifice for the sake of the poor, the oppressed, the needy, and the homeless, then God will hear our cry for help and answer us. He will guide us, meet our needs, give us strength, refresh us with springs of living water. That sounds good to me. Amen? So our plan, here's what we're going to do. We're asking every member of our church to fast this month of September. There are many types of fast. I'm going to cover them briefly in just a second. And we understand that there are events on the calendar that you just can't get around. Like, ladies, there's a mixer scheduled on September the 1st and 2nd. And so it's going to have to come, like when you're dealing with your own personal family, business, and different situations, as things come up, you just need to do what's in your heart to do and what you believe the Lord is calling you to do. Like every time that I go into a season of fasting, there's always a banquet or a major event or a major thing that goes on. And most of the time when I go to those things, I just do when I'm fasting, the partial fast or the regular fast. But sometimes it's I just feel like the Lord's saying, hey, honor them and participate with this. So you're mature in Christ and you know how to follow. Just listen to what Jesus puts in your heart. Now, if you're saying in your heart every day you need to break your fast and every day there's a special meal you need to attend to in your family or something, nah, I'm challenging that, right? I don't think so. But, you know, a few times or once, and some of you will be able to do like I've done in the past. You don't do any of that, and you still go and you participate and you attend. You just don't eat or whatever it is. Pray each day. Let me skip that. What kind of fast should you participate in? That's a really good question. What kind of fast are there? There are partial fasts in the notes I give you. There's the Daniel fast, which is abstaining from certain foods for a time. Daniel's partial fast, including eating of vegetables and fruits only, no meats, breads, dairy products, or sweets, I would say, no chocolate. And then there's the fruit juice and water fast. There's the fruit juice, vegetable juice, and broth fast. And then there's the fast that some of us, for medical reasons, can only skip a meal or two a day because of the medications that we take. And so we do it that way. There is the water-only fast, and I've done that some. I've done different Daniel fasts, partial fasts, doing water only for 30 days, so juice only or whatever. There are absolute fasts, which means you don't eat or drink. We're not recommending the absolute fast for 30 days. Don't do that. That's for an emergency time like in Esther. So we're not asking you to do that. There are alternative fasts. Now, some of you, for medical reasons, for different reasons, you're just not able to fast. But there are some things the Lord wants you to give up. I want you to ask the Lord, what is something that I can surrender and go without so that I can seek you? I hope a majority of us, those that are able, that aren't medically restricted, like if you're pregnant, you shouldn't do a food fast. If you have medical reasons, the doctor, check with your doctor before you do a food fast or one of the Daniel partial fast. But you can still participate if you're not able to abstain from food. Amen? So there's different things. Like, how much time would be created if we didn't get on social media for 30 days? I know the withdrawal symptoms would be significant and the stress and the anxiety, but that's good to confront that. So there are different things. So you can give up watching TV or other media, social media, sports, sweets. Now, if you don't eat sweets every day, then don't give that up because that's not. But for some of us that are addicted to sweets, giving that up would be a big sacrifice. Amen? The purpose is to give up something for the sake of seeking God. Parents, please talk to your children. We're not asking that children fast for all their meals. We're not asking that. But there's a way that there's something that they can do. Maybe they can skip a snack. But y'all work that out, whatever works for you and your child. And so I want to say, teenagers, you can fast. Talk with your parents, though, as the Lord gives you grace, maybe a meal or a snack or these different ways. So, conclusion. Fasting can bring breakthroughs in the spiritual realm that could never be had in any other way. It's a means of God's grace and blessing that should be neglected no longer, Richard Foster says. So I'm praying this morning. Would you please stand? So I'm praying this morning that God would give us his spirit of grace and supplication, that he'll help us. So Calvary, get the notes. There's some printed notes at the small group table. The notes are online. A whole lot more details. I just skipped a whole bunch of detail. There are book resources listed in my notes. But I want to invite you and challenge you to ask the Lord How would you have me fast in this season? And then let's all pray together and ask the Lord to give us a spirit of grace. We need spiritual help to do what God asks us to do. We're not doing this on our own. Jesus did this. Others, we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit and the help of God. And we just do it because we believe the Lord's asking us to do it. And we're doing it because we believe that Jesus is saying, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow you'll see me do incredible things. There's something about our destiny. And Calvary, we're going to enter into this together. So let's pray. Lord, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And Lord, we just want to learn to cooperate better with you. Lord, for some of us, this creates anxiety and stress to think about fasting and prayer. Lord, for others of us, this is a normative part of our lives. It's just something we do, and that's just, Lord, thank you. Lord, others of us have done it in the past, and we've not been able to do it for different reasons. God, would you speak to us and show each one of us in this congregation what part we're going to do, what type of fast, how we should fast. What are we going to give up? What are we going to surrender to create more capacity to spend time with you, to pray, to listen, and to work, like you said, to do the things that you call us to do? Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Your sons and daughters, you said, I tell my friends, I share my heart with my friends. Or we are friends, your family, share your heart with us. I ask you to speak to each one of us. And Lord, I ask for a spirit of grace and supplication. I pray for the grace to fast and pray. I pray that you'll help us to practice. We know that practice makes progress. And we know that progress happens over time and in public. So Lord, we're going to learn. We're going to practice this together as a body. And we know we're going to make progress for your glory and for your sake. Lord Jesus, thank you for spiritual practices that help create more capacity in us for you. So Holy Spirit, since you're anointed to do that, according to Ephesians chapter 3, I ask for power encounters with you even this morning that will help us to carve out more room for Jesus to dwell in us by faith. And some of us, there are other spiritual practices that we've not been doing. We're neglecting. And Father, this is a season to get back in to connecting with you through the spiritual practice, maybe to take on new things, develop new capacities and faith muscles and spiritual muscles. So Lord, I'm asking, I'm knocking on your door today for your spirit of grace, for your help, and for a spirit of prayer, a spirit of supplication. In Jesus' name, amen.